This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Peace, blessings and mercy be upon you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we begin this broadcast, I would like us to take a moment to praise the Almighty Creator and to glorify Him above all else and all things, and to thank Him for opportunities like this to speak about Him, His might and His glory. We thank the Almighty Creator for our spiritual well-being and upliftment, and for guiding us, protecting us, and for blessing us upon this path. What I would like to share with you guys today is how I was first introduced to Islam, and what my journey looked like, and why I eventually decided to embrace this way of life as my religion, to follow upon the path to glorify the Almighty Creator. Now, my journey begins at my childhood, because I was born and I was raised in a Christian family. My father was the pastor of our church. My mother was a beautiful singer within the choir. And from a very young age, I've been nurtured by the names of the great prophets. From Abraham and his sons, to Noah upon his ship, Moses with his remarkable courage to guide his people to safety. And it was from this very young age that I was met with a burning desire to follow in my father's footsteps and to become a religious leader myself. And so I dedicated myself to this cause, and I soon found a platform upon which I could share my love and my passion for God and what I then believed His untainted revelation. And as I was growing within the church, my independence grew and religious freedom took hold. I started asking questions to my religious leaders, which were often left unanswered. It was during this time as well that my mom started learning more about Islam. Now, what happened with her was she wanted to write an article about Hajj for her local magazine. And so, she approached a Muslim man to write this article for her. But he was going to Hajj with his family. And so, she took it upon herself to study more about Islam, to study more about Hajj, to be able to compose this article. And as she was studying more about Islam, she fell in love with this religion. Now, for me, during that time, I completely contested her quest for additional knowledge. And I could not comprehend or understand why she would go to Islam to look for more knowledge about the Creator. And I remember that there was even a time at which we would have youth group at my house and we would have praise and worship music, and I would turn the music just a little bit louder to try and call her back to Christianity. Now, it was at this time when I realized that my quest of following in my father's footsteps was starting to wither apart, and that I had to reevaluate who I am and who I want to be in life. And thus, I decided to go work abroad for Royal Caribbean Cruises as a photographer. And just before I left for my flight, at the airport, my mom held me in a close embracing hug, and she prayed a prayer over me to this new God named Allah, who I did not know back then. But she prayed to Allah to send a very big angel with me to guide and to protect me upon my journey. And as I left for my flight, and I landed in Australia, and I boarded my ship, I opened up my bag, and I realized that my mom had left me with more than just a prayer. She put a copy of the Holy Quran within my bag. And on the first page of this beautiful book, she left a little note which said that, if ever I want to debate against Muslims one day, I need to understand their religion. I need to understand their foundation and where they come from and why they believe what they believe. And this made rational sense to me. And so I dedicated myself with the love that I have for my mom to read at least one page every night. And soon one page turned into two, two into three, and I found myself completing the Quran from cover to cover. Now, brothers and sisters, this is truly where my spiritual battle began. A battle which left my heart, my mind, and my soul completely torn, because I was separated countries between myself and everything that I held dear. And I felt lost, but I knew I was exactly where I had to be. I felt betrayed by my religious leaders for not educating me as to what Islam truly teaches. But yet I knew there was still something that was guiding me. I felt as if I did not really know God, but I knew He was right there beside me. Now, having completed the Quran from cover to cover, I started a comparative study between the biblical text and the Quran. And what I had found is that there's more cohesion between these revelations than what there is separation. From the very core principle of the Almighty Creator within the Quran, in chapter 112, verse 1 to 4, where it says that, say that He is Allah, the one and the only. He's the absolute and He's the eternal. He begets not, nor is He begotten, and there's nothing like unto Him within this universe. Echoed within the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, where Moses, peace and blessings be upon him, says that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Confirmed by Jesus Christ in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29, where he says that, "Hear, O Israel, the most important commandment is this, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." To the very concept that this God is completely unseen, that there's nothing like unto him within the universe, confirmed in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 3 to 5, where God says that nothing in the heavens above, the earth beneath, or the water beneath the earth will ever resemble him. We're not allowed to make any images of this. Confirmed by Jesus Christ in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 37, where he stands in front of his followers, the Pharisees and disciples, and he says that you've never heard the voice of God, neither have you ever seen his shape or his form. I was astonished by these comparatives that I drew, but this is not where my journey ended. There were so many questions that I had, and this is truly where my love and passion for Islam fell into place, because all these questions that I had was answered within the Quran. For instance, the rational explanation for the existence of God can be found within the Quran in chapter 52, verse 35 to 36, where this creator speaks to us and he says, "Do they believe they were created out of nothing? Do they believe they are the creators of themselves? Have they constructed the heavens and the earth? They are only but uncertain." And this uncertainty is regarding his existence. Now in the first verse, God is saying that, do they believe they were created out of nothing? Now both you and I can think about this. That is completely illogical, because out of void, something cannot come into existence within this physical realm. So fundamentally, there has to be energy or power prior to in order to bring something into creation. The second possibility is that we created ourselves. But this in itself is illogical, because something cannot create itself without existing, right? The third possibility is that we were created by something that came prior to us. For instance, another universe. If there was a Big Bang, boop, and then before that was another universe that was a Big Bang that then imploded to create our universe, then the question is, but what created that universe? The answer would be, in that mindset, another universe. And so that cycle will continue ad infinitum until there is a beginning, a creation out of void. So what this revelation is telling us, that we were created by something that is itself all-powerful to produce the energy and power to create the universe. We were created by something that is itself all-knowledgeable to create a universe for the coexistence of planetary bodies and to ensure that our existence upon this earth is possible. And we were created by something that is self-sufficient, was not created, and is not in need of anything that is itself created. For instance, this something, this creator, does not eat, it does not sleep, it does not go to the restroom, it doesn't need to pray unto itself or fast, because it's absolute and eternal. Now what I discovered is that through these names and attributes of God, it is what makes him unique. And if we were to apply these three criteria to any other concept of God out there in this world, there's only one that would stand, and that is the Almighty. Let me give you an example. In Islam, I had learned to love and respect Jesus Christ, and to follow in his footsteps, and to listen to his major tenets that he had propagated. And he is written within the Quran as one of the greatest prophets. But fundamentally, he could not have been God, because if we look at the biblical text, he was never all-powerful. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 30, he says that, "Out of my own self I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not to please myself, but only the Creator who had sent me." So out of his own self, he could do nothing. He was not all-powerful. He was also not all-knowing, because in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36, he says that, "Of the final day and hour, nobody knows, not the angels in heaven, or myself, but only the Creator who had sent me." So he was not all-knowing. And Jesus Christ was also not self-sufficient. He had to eat, he had to sleep, he had to go to the restroom, he had to find care from his mother, he had to put his forehead to the ground in submission to this creator, and he had to fast unto God for spiritual protection. So that is fundamentally why we believe that he is a prophet of God. He cannot be God. Because as soon as something is not all-powerful, it means that there is something else out there in the universe that is more powerful than it. And fundamentally, once that happens, then this entire concept, the names and attributes of God would be broken. Therefore, the Creator is almighty. He is maximally perfect in all his names and attributes. I also had to understand as to why the Quran is from God. And fundamentally, I want you guys to visualize this with me. Imagine we had all the books in front of us. We had the Veda, which is the first Hindu scriptures. We had the Taoist revelation, the Buddhist revelation, the Sikhist revelation. We had the Quran and we had the Bible. For us to be objective and to look at these revelations and to decide which of these books is from God, both you and I would agree on three things. The first thing is that this book needs to represent God in the right way. For instance, if a revelation says that, you know, God is a monkey, or that God is a human being, or that God is a tree, both you and I would agree that that revelation cannot be from God. Because a monkey, a human being, and a tree is not all-powerful, not all-knowing, and not self-sufficient. The second thing we would be looking for is internal and external validity and consistency. Internally, this revelation should not contradict itself, because fundamentally, God would not contradict himself. External consistency means that when God speaks about his creation within this revelation, it needs to be consistent with his creation itself, because God would not deceive us in that way. So for instance, if a revelation says that the earth is flat, or that the universe is only 6,000 years old, both you and I would agree that this revelation cannot be from God, because we know that the earth is spherical, and we know that the universe is billions of years old. The third and final criterion we'd be looking for is some form of divine inspiration. If we look at this revelation, we say undoubtedly that this must be from God. A human mind could not have composed of this revelation, right? Now, if we apply these three points upon all the revelations in front of us, well, there's only one that stands, and that is itself the Holy Quran. I would like to give you some examples as to why. Within the Holy Quran in chapter 21, verse 30, the Creator speaks to the unbelievers once again. And he says that, "Do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth was joined together as one unit of creation, and we split them asunder, and that we created every living creature from water? Will they then still not believe?" Now, this is something we just recently discovered, that the heavens and the earth comes from a singularity, a complete and hot and dense point, that then splits apart, and that every living creature comes from an element of water. For instance, the human cell consists of more than 60% of water, the human brain around 75%. When a fetus, a baby is just born, they consist of more than 8% of water. Now, objectively, we have to ask ourselves, who could have revealed this 1,400 years ago if we've just discovered it in our century? Could have been a human mind, or was it divinely inspired? I would like to give you another example. When the Creator speaks about the working bee that produces honey and pollinate plants, he speaks about them in the female term, meaning that all working bees are female. Now, zoologists have just recently discovered that all working bees that produce honey and pollinate plants, that all of them are female. Now again, we need to ask ourselves objectively, who could have revealed this? A human mind, or was it God? I would like to give you guys one more example. There are hundreds within the Quran. But in the Quran, in chapter 78, verse 6 to 7, the Creator says that we've created the earth as an expanse and we place mountains as pegs within the ground. Now, if you and I were to take a peg, right, and we were to hit it in the ground, doop, 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 we would only see the tip of the peg, and the rest of the peg will be underneath the surface of the earth. It would not even be something that you can see. Now, the Creator is saying that he created the mountains as pegs, and yet, we find that geologists have only recently discovered that when two tectonic plates push against one another, there's a plate that goes up and there's a plate that goes down that creates the roots of the mountain. And these geologists use the word stakes or pegs in order to define what this is like. Now, fundamentally, this is not even something that you can perceive with your eyes. And yet it was revealed 1,400 years ago as a testament of truth. Now, who could have revealed this? Upon my journey, I discovered through going through many of these examples, is that this must have been divinely inspired, because fundamentally a human mind cannot compose of these things. And if we rationally think about this, every single prophet came with a specific miracle and a sign for their people. Moses, he struck his staff and the sea separated, peace be upon him. Ezekiel, Elijah, they healed the sick, peace be upon them. Jesus Christ, he casted out demons and he healed the sick, peace be upon him. Muhammad, during his time, he multiplied water and he healed the sick, peace be upon him. And these prophets, when they performed these miracles, many people started to follow them. And they said that surely this must be a prophet of God. Let's follow them. Now, if this God is just, if this God is merciful, which we know he is, and he sent every single generation with a sign that is from him, it would be unjust of him not to leave our generation without a sign. And therefore, the Quran is the sign from this Almighty Creator. It is the only revelation that is untainted. It is the only revelation that has no internal, external inconsistencies. It's the only revelation that represents this Creator in the ultimate, utmost form. And fundamentally, through these signs that the Creator has sent us, we know that this is a revelation that is directly from Him. Now, this revelation itself was revealed by a prophet, and his name is Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And he did not come with a new religion, but he came to bring people back to the religion of Abraham, to say, worship only the Almighty true God, that is all-powerful, all-knowing, and self-sufficient. Do not associate any partners with him. Worship him alone. Pray to him alone. Glorify him above all else and all things. Because on the final day of resurrection, we will stand in front of him. And we must live a life in righteousness, in accordance to his laws and decrees, to worship and glorify him through every action that we do. When we look upon something, look upon things that are pleasurable only to him. When we listen to something, we do so only to glorify the Almighty Creator, and only to listen to things that are pleasurable to him. And when we work with our arms, we do so to glorify and worship the Almighty Creator, and only to work in things that are pleasurable to him. And through these actions that we perform, we also fulfill the purpose of our life, which is to worship this Almighty God, and to live a life in accordance to what he wishes of us, in accordance to his will. And so, when we submit unto him, that is what we call to be Muslim. And through this, I decided to make my shahada, to declare that there's only one true Almighty God. To declare that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is a prophet of God. Now, I hope this gives you guys an answer as to why I decided to embrace Islam, how my journey began, the things that I had to start with in regards to comparative religion, and what the truths are that I had found within the beautiful Quran, and how this had led me to embrace Islam. And I would like to make another episode as well, inshallah, in future, regarding comparative religious studies. And if ever you guys want to make contact with me directly, feel free to visit my page. It should be linked in the description. And all the best of blessings to you and your family. Jazakallah khair. All the blessings upon you. And thank you for this opportunity. And thank you for listening to me.